This is Dan Chandler, host of In the Tradition. Today, I am very pleased to be able to interview Agustín Lira and to talk with him about his new album called Songs of Struggle and Hope. The album is created by Agustín and his three-piece group called Alma. Agustín Lira was born in northern Mexico in 1945. At the age of seven, he moved with his family to California in order to follow the crops with fellow farm workers. When he was 19, he co-founded El Teatro Campesino with Luis Valdez. They traveled throughout California using music and theater to organize the farm workers' movement. In 1968 and 1969, Lira was invited to perform at the Newport Folk Festival. After leaving Teatro Campesino, he continued to work in music and theater and formed the musical group Alma. Lira has appeared on numerous recordings and has written songs featured in theatrical productions and film. He's received a number of awards recognizing his work. Perhaps the most prestigious is the 2007 National Endowment for the Arts National Heritage Fellowship. Also, for the past 42 years, he has taught theater, music, and creative writing in organizations throughout California. Agustín Lira is joined for this interview by his partner in music, Patricia Wells. She started as Agustín's student, but went on to perform with him as a duet and in the trio Alma, which is named after one of Agustín's signature songs. She is co-creator of theater and music works and co-director of their Fresno-based theater company, Teatro de la Tierra. Agustín and Patricia, welcome to KHSU.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to start by just asking Agustín to tell us a little bit about your new CD, which was released less than a year ago.
Well, it's a collection of songs that I've written over a period of time, dealing with different subjects, mostly dealing with the concepts of struggle. And, of course, there are a lot of songs there that also try to raise hope in different communities.
You say the songs are about struggle. Can you be more specific about what kinds of causes the songs and you in general are working on at this point?
Basically, the kind of music that I write has to deal with the issues that are happening now all over the country, for example, because they're the same issues that have happened for many years, hundreds of years. When I worked with the farm workers, it was mostly about better living conditions, better wages. Most struggles, as far as I'm concerned, have to do with a key thing, and that is respect and dignity. And that's what's behind most struggles, whether they are for labor, whether it's LGBTQ, struggles for equality, they're the same. They have to deal with equality, and they have to deal with democracy.
And I think in answer to part of that, too, is that Agustín has been writing, because of the tremendous amount of homeless people, for example, in our community, and what happened, an action that was taken against the homeless here. And Agustín started writing about it. So that's one of the songs on there. And there are other songs, for example, Summer Winds, that when Agustín was a young man, they tried to draft him to Vietnam, which was really weird because before he tried to join and they didn't want him when he was a younger guy. And then they wanted him, and that was a song against war. So that is still an issue. It's still very much alive for us and what happens in our community.
Right. Well, I also saw some very topical subjects like being homeless in Fresno. Taps for Coke is the title of one song about obesity and sugar drinks. So it sounds like the things that you're dealing with are things that many, many people are dealing with.
That's right. The causes are basically the same, especially the struggles that are taking place right now across the country, all of the marches and everything. That's exactly what our music is about, and that's exactly what we have been trying to do all of these years, is to educate our community about how this system really works and how you have to protect yourself in order to live here.
Or even getting back to the title of Taps for Coke, you know, it just so happens that this past month in Mexico, the group of people who are aware, Coca-Cola is the soda that sells the most in Mexico. That's the country where Coca-Cola has the best sales in the whole world. So this past month, they said that they were going to boycott Coca-Cola for a month for people not to drink it. But it's also very prevalent in our communities, and that's why they approached us to ask us to do something about that problem. Because it's not just for Latinos. I mean, it's every race, as I'm sure you have seen. You know, it's the sugar. It's the sugar in the sodas that is really behind a lot of the diabetes and, you know, the health problems throughout our poor communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you a little bit about the theater work that you do. What ages do you work with? And just describe a little bit, if there is such a thing, a typical production.
Our presentations, they're community-based, which means that we train everyone. And we train every single performer to do the parts and to do the music, because we also employ music. Again, the subjects range from what it could be obesity to bullying to the immigrant problems that are happening all over. Basically, the things that are happening in our communities.
So it's essentially socially conscious theater, community theater.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, in some of our productions, people that couldn't speak English very well would come and they say, well, you're not going to work with us, hon. I said, yes, we will, even if we have to do it phonetically. Agustin and I both feel that talent is in every person. I mean, there is talent lying quietly within a lot of people. We even had a little boy who was, 6 years old, remember the little kid? He would come to watch his brothers and sisters, and eventually he became involved because he just loved it. He just kept laughing and finally begged us that if he could please be in the production. And it was very hard for him, but he did his little audition and he passed. So in a lot of ways, going through a production like this really helps the individuals in the community because they're included and their story is included in the production. So to us, it's a whole effort. It's not just bringing in, you know, professional actors or people who already do it. We like to offer the opportunity just to the community because the community has power. The individuals have power. And this is how they learn about it, by being involved in a project like this.
Could we switch a little bit now to the band Alma, which is a part of this new CD that you've produced, too? There's the two of you, and then there's a bass player. Could you tell me a little bit about your bass player?
Yes, the bass player's name is Ravi Kanivstra, and he played with us for about...
Since 1993, I think. He played with us for quite a few decades.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Ravi was pretty young, and he knew how to play upright bass, but he had never played the type of music that we play. But he toured with us all over. I mean, we went together to Cuba. He traveled all over the country with us. He has a background in all kinds of music, and he even performed in India. He would perform in India with groups touring all over India. Gosh, I think he's been to many different countries in Europe, so he has quite a background. He can play bass on practically anything.
Yeah, sounds like a really interesting group, the three of you together. I did hear an accordion on your CD. Who was playing the accordion?
Carlos Mendoza. He is a Mixteco. He is a musician here from the community in Madera. It's a little town 20 miles north of Fresno, and the Mixteco community has with quite a population here. They're the people that work in the fields. They're the ones who hold down the economic foundation of the San Joaquin Valley. But Carlos, he tours with his own group. We also perform with a Bay Area musician who is also pretty popular, Miguel Govea. And Miguel has recorded with us on previous albums. But on this particular one, it's Carlos who's playing the accordion. Miguel played accordion on our other recordings, and he's toured with us to other places. Carlos has not toured with us, but he played the lead in Cubo Raza.
Yeah, it sounded very authentically folk to me, but I'm not an expert. So are there other folk styles that you would say have been influential that you've incorporated into your music?
Yes, we use American folk, Latino, African,
Afro-Cuban,
all of those different styles. And also, if you put them all together, they spell Chicano music.
Huh. Is there much of an influence of popular music in your music?
I don't know if you could say that. My style of writing songs is very different, very unique from other folks. I don't know if you could say that.
One of the reasons that I remember when Ravi came back, then he said, I've never heard anything like this before. And so the song structure, as Agustin has, he just has created music that is kind of outside some of the frameworks of, for example, a bolero. I think there are different elements in his music. If you were to break down a song, it sounds different. And then he injects a lot of humor into the American folk songs. I think his music has a healthy dose of you know, you can laugh, and but it's also take his word seriously, you know, that we are in a fight for our existence, all of us.
For people who might be considering getting the album, are there pieces on it that are in English?
Yes, half of the CD is in English, and the other half is in Spanish. I write in both languages. I've also sang songs in Tagalog, Filipino dialect, and all kinds of other things. I think my influences are like from Mexican music all the way to jazz.
Huh. Oh. Yeah. Could you say a little bit about what you see of Latino music in the U.S.? And is there still a folk element as you go around to communities in California or other parts of the country? Is there Mexican folk music being performed, or is it pretty much been taken over by music that, you know, has the bass and the drum set?
For example, the rock and things that you're referring to, it's not that much. Actually, just barely come on the scene. Mexican music, Latino music has permeated not only the United States, but the world. And there are radio stations all up and down this country that play Mexican music, or what is known as cultural music. It's everywhere. It's in all the celebrations. It's in the festivals. It's everywhere that you go.
That's certainly true. I've driven up and down and going from one Mexican radio station to the next, all the way from almost to the border. So, yeah.
Yes, and in particular, even the Mixteco community, when they have their guelaguetzas, they bring the groups that have their orchestras, that have the, the tubas, and the brass and the percussion. And so that's very much still a part of the community, of their community. And so that's one part. And then there's the other segment of young people that still go over here to a hall called the Rainbow, and they have what they call the grupero music, which is, you know, danceable, the cumbia and all that. So all of these styles are still very much alive. I was really surprised to go hear Ramon Ayala last summer, and I couldn't believe more than half the people were young people, a lot younger than me.
Huh.
I would say that maybe possibly in the more rural areas, and I think the older folks always remember this music. It's never going to die, as far as I can see.
Yeah, well, I saw a statement by a American journalist who spent some time in Mexico recently, and he said that for people in Mexico, and I think it would probably carry over to the United States, music is the soundtrack for a way of life. The music is part of that soundtrack that is traditionally Mexican, but also, of course, is progressive in politics.
We're being invited and asked to play at different events because of everything that is going on. I think that it's popping up even in popular music, because even the Tigres, I don't know if you've heard the Tigres, but they have a song that says, you know, when we came to this country and we worked so hard and this is how you treat us and all that. And as you know, the Tigres have a basic, still traditional sound, you know, the guitar, the bass, the voices, the harmony. So every time you turn around, these Mexican groups are also writing. For example, one of our participants sings in the program. He sings a song called Cielo Fronterizo, about the border skies and about how families think that, oh, he's never going to come back because he met a rich girl, a rich white girl or something, got married. He's never coming back. And it's not true. A lot of people die in the desert. And so this song calls out to the people who think their relatives are rich and have forgotten about them. They said you can also have to think that maybe they died in the desert. You know, it's those who made it and are happy and in high places are few and far between. Life over here is about work.
A good statement of your philosophy and commitment. And I would like to thank you both very much for being on the show. I hope that the new album is doing very well.
Thank you very much, Daniel, for having us on your program. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I've been speaking with Agustin Lira and his musical partner, Patricia Wells, and we've been speaking about the music that they make and music that other Mexican Americans are making that is highly progressive and really is encapsulated, I think, by the title of their new CD, which I encourage people to listen to, called Songs of Struggle and Hope. And it's by Agustin Lira and the group ALMA.